The first scripture reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 19. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all of these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. The next reading is from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Lord, O God, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day that you've gifted us with. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence here at Community Church. Thank you also that you transcend time and space and that we also gathered with those others who are not with us today. We pray that as we are about to receive your message, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, that you will bless us with your word, and that your spirit will enable us to receive it. And we ask this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. So I'm using four popular Christmas songs as the inspiration for my messages during Advent and Christmas. And on the first Sunday of Advent, we listened to O Come, Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And we saw how Jesus, who is with us, meets some of our deepest needs, our need for a relationship with the divine, our need for someone to save us from our sin and guilt, and also our need to have God as a constant companion. And the second week, we listened to Joy to the World and how joy is not something that is elsewhere, but that joy is really here. We need to expect it. We need to choose joy every day. And how Jesus wants you to experience joy in a fresh and new way this Christmas. So last week on the third Sunday of Advent, we had the Christmas pageant. And then tonight, I will be asking the question during our evening service, our Christmas Eve service, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? So in any case, there was a dark and shameful period of slavery in our country, when countless unknown slaves were often humiliated and cruelly treated. People who really longed for freedom. And yet, in spite of their plight, God seemed to inspire them to produce songs of incredible majesty and haunting beauty. And these songs have become known as Negro spirituals. Many of these slaves were unable to read or write. And so their songs were preserved in the oral tradition. Numerous of the songs have been saved because of the devotion of a man with the name of John Wesley Work. He was a black choir director in Nashville, Tennessee, and he decided that the new generation needed to know and learn the songs their ancestors sang during the days of slavery. And Work's brother, whose name was Frederick, is credited with being one of the first to recognize the power and the potential of the song that Kim just sang, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And this song captures the feeling of an unknown slave. These words simply sprang from his heart. He imagined the reaction of the shepherds as the great light from heaven shone around them. He had no idea that this same song would eventually touch the hearts of millions of people. But what he did know was that the story of Christmas and the death and resurrection of Jesus and his offer of salvation is something that has to be told, that God's people need to tell the message from the mountaintop. And the mountain is a significant and spiritual place in Scripture. Moses received the Ten Commandments on the mountaintop. Jesus gave his most powerful sermon from a mountain. And Isaiah writes, how beautiful is the person who comes over the mountains to bring good news, who announces peace and brings good news, who announces salvation and says to Jerusalem, your God is King. What better place than a mountaintop to shout the good news of redemption? But what's the good news? What's this message that we need to go tell? I mean, what's really the message of Christmas? We need to know it if we are going to share it. Now, well, you know that it's really not about Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer or Frosty the snowman. You know that. You know it's not just about the lights and the trees and the presents under the trees. But it's really that Jesus came to earth and died in your place and that he rose again from the dead. Paul in the Bible says, I passed on to you what I received, of which this was most important, that Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say, that he was buried and was raised to life on the third day, as the scriptures say. So because of what Jesus did for you on the cross, the message of Christmas is that you can have forgiveness of sins. You can have forgiveness of your sins through Jesus. The law of Moses could not free you from your sins, but through Jesus, everyone who believes is free from all sins. And you can have fellowship with God, and you can have eternal life. And this is what he has promised us, eternal life. And so the message of Christmas is, the message of the birth of Christ is that God came to earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross so we could be forgiven, that he rose from the dead so our sins can be removed permanently, and that we can be in fellowship with God for all of eternity. That's the good news. But there's one more thing. The message is also that the kingdom of God is now in our midst. People should know that the church has a role to play in God's plan. Because you see, there's no Christianity without the church. The Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ, that Jesus cherishes the church. It says in Colossians, he's the head of his body, which is the church. He's the very beginning, the first to be raised from death, so that he would be above all others. So some people say, you know, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not really part of the church. Or, you know what, I love Christ, I love Jesus, but I don't want anything to do with the church. Well, that's like me saying to you, you know what, I really like you. I do, I like you, but I just can't stand your spouse. I mean, what would that be like? Would you be happy with that? So what I'm saying is there's no Christianity without the church. This is the bride of Christ. This is the body of Christ. You can't separate the head from the body. You can't separate Jesus from the church. And this body is imperfect, yes, but it's beautiful. And you know the blessings of belonging to this fellowship, to this family of faith, because we love one another, and we pray for one another, and we encourage one another, and we help one another, and we laugh together, and we cry together, and we break bread together, and we share the same faith in the same Savior. And that's why we need to go tell it on the mountain and over the hills and everywhere. So you're thinking, well, you know, that sounds a little intimidating to go tell it. That seems a little daunting because I'm not a pastor. I'm not a theologian. I don't know all the ins and outs of the Bible. And that's okay. You don't have to know that. Because what's more important is that you have a story, okay? You have a personal story. You have a personal testimony. And a personal testimony is still the most powerful form of communication today, the most powerful form of persuasion. Madison Avenue still uses personal testimonies. You see it on TV all the time. Well, I've tried Cascade. You should try it too. Why do they use that? Because the personal story is still the most powerful form of communication. There's this guy in the Bible who was possessed by demons. And then Jesus brought him deliverance. And he wanted to get in the boat and go with Jesus. But Jesus would not let him. Instead, he told him, go back home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how kind he has been to you. It says, go and tell your story, how much God has done for you and how he's been merciful to you. That's something you and I can do, right? We can tell a story. There's the guy who was born blind and Jesus healed him. And then the Pharisees questioned him about how Jesus did it and why Jesus did it and should he have done it on a Sunday or not. And he answered, I don't know. I don't know if he's a sinner. One thing I do know, I was blind, and now I see. That might be your story. I don't have it all figured out. I don't know all the ins and outs. I don't understand all the theology and all of that. All I know is God changed my life. Jesus changed my life. The church changed my life. That there is a testimony. That is you telling it on the mountain. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. All you have to say is, you know what? Jesus changed my life. He made a difference in my life. The church made a difference in my life. That's why I'm happy to celebrate Christmas. And then you tell them what the difference is. I used to curse every other word, now maybe once in a while. I used to be so impatient with my children. Somehow God is giving me more patience. I used to fly off the handle when I'm driving. Now I do it maybe less than before. Not me, but maybe someone else. Why should I tell the difference faith and church made in my life? You say, isn't that your job? Yeah, but I can't tell your story. Your story is unique, by the way. You're the only one who can tell it. If you don't tell other people what's happened in your life, that story will never be told. Your story is personal. It's easy to understand. It's always easier to understand someone's story than it's a bunch of principles and facts and figures and heavy theology. And you know what? You are the authority on your story. And I tell you what, it's difficult to argue with a testimony. Because what you're saying is, you know what? This is what happened to me, okay? Might not be the same for you, I'm not saying that. But this is what happened to me. How do I argue with that? It happened to you. You know it happened. And you know what? People love to hear personal stories. And they remember them. And they can relate to them. Because stories build a relational bridge. And when you tell your story, you know what? This is what I was like before I became a Christian. And here's what happened afterwards. This is what my life was like. And then I discovered community church. And here's the thing I'm still struggling with. You know, I don't have it all together. I still struggle with this thing. But you know what? I'm trying. And there are people who support me in that. And when you tell their story, they go, oh, okay. I know what you mean. And so people relate to it a whole lot easier and a whole lot quicker. Because a lot of people today aren't going to listen to the Bible. They don't accept the Bible. They don't believe in the ultimate truth. Your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. But they will listen to your story. And so you can share it. And think about it this way. We always say, you know, we want the church to grow. We'd love to have more people here at CCD. Did you know that you are actually far more effective in witnessing than I would be as a pastor? Because when I share as a pastor, I'm considered to be the paid professional. You know, they say, well, we expect him to do that. He has to say that. But when others hear you talk about Jesus or you talk about CCD, you are the satisfied customer. So who has more credibility? Paid salesman or satisfied customer? The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to to answer everyone who asks you to explain about the hope that you have. And listen, I know you all have a story of hope. You probably have more than one story of hope. How your faith has somehow given you hope. How the church has given you some hope. How CCD, how this faith family have given you some hope. And your story is there to go share with others. Go tell it. One last thought. There's still time to invite someone to tonight's service. You know, a simple but personal invitation is really the most powerful thing there is. You can just say something like, you know, I just love our Christmas Eve service. Beautiful music. We're lighting candles. It helps me connect with God, and it helps me celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. Gives me hope in a world that seems pretty hopeless right now. You know what? I don't know how, but it brings me some peace. And I know that I need that peace, and maybe you need that peace in your life as well. Why don't you come with me tonight? Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills, everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The words, the poor slave, without a dime to his name, without any formal education, so to speak of, wrote. The words we sing. The question for today is, are we just going to sing it? Or are we going to tell the stories of how Christmas has changed us? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for transformation happening in our lives, not because of who we are, but because of your Spirit working in our lives. We all have stories of change. How we were changed by faith, or how we were changed by your Son Jesus, how we were changed by the church, or someone extending a hand to us, someone helping us, someone praying for us, someone encouraging us or supporting us, that just lifted our spirits and gave us some hope. May your Spirit encourage us and empower us to share a simple story of what you have done in our lives. Thank you for those who have gone to tell it on the mountains and over the hills and everywhere. It's a story that continues to live on. It's the story of the birth of your Son Jesus, who we'll celebrate again this evening. We praise you in his name. Amen.